don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but I've had this happen multiple times in my life where I have looked around the room and I have thought to myself, I have no idea what I am doing here. Anyone ever had that experience before? You're in a room with other people and you look around and you go, I don't really know what my purpose is in this conversation. I don't even know why I was invited to be a part of this. I had this experience a few years ago. Back before I moved to Valdosta, I served a church in the middle Georgia area near Warner Robins. And there was a guy who was a part of our church who was real influential within the community named Sonny Watson. And Sonny actually passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I kind of was reminded of some of the experiences I had with him and thought about this recently. But Sonny was very well known within the community. If you're familiar with Warner Robins, you might be familiar with Watson Boulevard. That was named after his grandfather, who was the first mayor of Warner Robins. And Sonny had been very influential in the business community, in local politics. He had served in the state government as a state senator for many years. And everyone knew him. I mean, he was very generous and very supportive of the community. And he had spent his last years serving as the chair of the hospital board locally. And so when the local technical college got to putting together a new health sciences building, they named it after him. And it was a pretty incredible honor that they named it after him. And so he said, hey, I want you to come check out this building. I said, okay, that sounds fun, and I would love to see it. And it was kind of one of those, like, anything he asked me to do, I was going to do. I mean, he was such a great guy and always so supportive. And so I said, yeah, sure, just let me know when you want me to come look at it. And so he said, all right, we're going to be doing a tour. I want you to come at this time on this date. And I said, sure. So I show up, and I kid you not, I'm standing there, and it's Sonny, who I know. But the rest of the people are like Fortune 500 CEOs. There are some local and state officials. There's the CEO of the local hospital system. There's a head official with the state board of health. And I'm just sitting there kind of scratching my head going, I have no idea why I'm here. And we're walking around and they're having all these conversations and they're name dropping and talking about their conversation the other day with all these national leaders whose names I've heard of and things like that. And I'm like, hi, I'm the pastor at the local Methodist church. We're up the street. Come join us on Sunday mornings. And I'm like, I have no idea what my purpose is in this conversation. Now, it was a great experience. I enjoy getting to see the building. But there are times that we encounter that in life where we look around and we think, I don't even know what my role is here. I don't know what my purpose is here. And you feel a little bit like a fish out of the water. I remember when I was growing up and learning to drive, there was something that I enjoyed doing after I got my driver's license, and it was just going and driving on the road with no sense of a plan. I would just go in a direction, and I would just try to find my way, and I would try to find my way back. And that was great and awesome, and it was a wonderful feeling when I was 16, 17 years old to just have that freedom and to just have no plan, no purpose, just to kind of go. But then as I got older, there became a certain point in my life where going through life like that with no clear sense of where I was going or no sense of absolute direction kind of left me feel a little lost, a little hopeless. I wanted to know what my purpose was. I wanted to know what direction I was going. I wanted to have a sense of what is my life all about and who is it that I'm supposed to be. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is the idea of reclaiming purpose in our lives. We've been going through this series, Reclaim, as a way to start out the new year by reclaiming aspects of our lives that we need to take back hold of and make a foundational part of who we are and how we're shaping our lives. We began a couple of weeks ago by talking about reclaiming the essentials of our faith, reclaiming the idea of our devotion to God and living that out in the way that we live and the way that we structure our lives. And then last week, we talked about reclaiming authority in our lives. It's not just about us having authority. It's about surrendering to the authority and the lordship of Jesus in our lives. And as we surrender to God's leadership of our lives, as we surrender our will to His will, we realize that not only are we under His authority, but we get to take part in His authority. And so when we face struggles, when we face strongholds, when we face challenges and obstacles that come our way in our everyday life, we know that if we are surrendered to the authority of Jesus in our lives, that we can call upon those challenges to be surrendered and obedient to the authority of Jesus as well. And this week, we're talking about the idea of our purpose. We're talking about our direction and what we're here for and what our life is supposed to be all about. Now, I don't even have to take a wild guess to wonder if this is something that people wrestle with, because I know that several years ago, there was a book that came out called The Purpose-Driven Life. And for many years, it was the second most sold book in the English language behind only the Bible. It was something that people were longing to know, longing to understand. What am I here for was the chief question of that book. And it was a pretty good book, but really why it sold so much is because people want to know what they're here for. They want to know what their purpose is. They want to know what their life is all about and what direction they're going in. And that question of what am I even doing here? What is my purpose in this room? What is my purpose in this life is something that we all wrestle with and struggle with. And it might appear in different ways at different points of our lives. You might be sitting here and you're at the midst of a crossroads and you're wondering what you're supposed to do next and finding out and getting to the core of who you're supposed to be and what God's purpose is for your life can be a foundational part of you walking through that journey and navigating the season that you find yourself in. You might be early in your life and you're looking ahead and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do or who you're going to be, where you're going to live, what your life is going to look like, and understanding your purpose and trying to find your way and your direction is a big part of that journey. On the other side, you might be looking back on your life and you might be saying, well, I've raised my family, people have moved out, I'm done with my career. What am I supposed to do now? What is my purpose after all the things that I set out to accomplish in life have already been checked off? Or maybe there are regrets and you're just trying to navigate how you walk through this season of life and how you enter into it and still have a sense of purpose and a sense of hope in the midst of it. And I believe that what we are called to do is to understand our purpose in light of God's hopes and dreams for our lives and what God has created us to be. And in order to understand that and in order to live into that and to see that play out, we have to have a good foundation of understanding of what purpose looks like in the lives of those of us who belong to God. The passage that we're going to look at this morning is one that I have to be honest, it wasn't one that I was overly familiar with before reading it and rereading it going into this Sunday, but it was one I kept being drawn back to because it really gets at the idea of purpose and the idea of living out of who God has created you to be and who God has called you to be. Now, a little bit of background on this is we find this in a letter called 2 Timothy, and the guy who's writing it is a guy by the name of Paul. Paul was an early Christian leader. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament. We have a collection of letters that he wrote to different churches, and those letters where he was trying to give them guidance about how to navigate the faith, how to structure of the church, how to engage with people outside the faith, and he talked about the doctrines and the different theological ideas within the Christian faith. Those became formative for the early church about what it means to belong to Jesus, what it means to live the Christian life. And most of his letters were written to churches. They were churches primarily that he had started or had a relationship with, at least. But there were also a few that were written to people that had been proteges of his. He wrote a few to individuals, including three that we call the pastoral letters. And those three letters are his guidance, his instructions from a mentor to a mentee, from a discipler to a disciple. And within them, we can get some insight into how to navigate the challenges that we might face in our lives. He wrote two of them to a guy by the name of Timothy, who was probably his most famous protege. He wrote one to another younger worker in the faith named Titus. And these guys had been travel companions of Paul. He always was traveling with people, always going along, always taking people along for the journey, sharing in ministry together. But these two particular guys were ones that he was intentional about having an ongoing relationship with and instructing them about how to live their lives. And so we find this is his words of guidance to Timothy. And in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy, we have another one we call 1 Timothy. We're real creative on the names of these. But in 2 Timothy, we find words that Paul is writing kind of at the end of his life. These are, as life is dwindling down, words of guidance, kind of almost farewell guidance to Timothy. And he's wanting Timothy to know that he has a purpose. He's wanting Timothy to know that there is a reason that he has been shaped the way that he has been shaped, and that God is going to use that purpose and to use the way that he has been shaped for a greater purpose. Kind of think back to the Skittles of all the things coming together, all the experiences in life, all the different ingredients coming together for a bigger purpose. And Paul is writing this as a sense of guidance and a sense of hope for what God might do next in the life of Timothy. So we're going to pick up the passage we began with, kind of a little sentimental reflection on Paul's relationship with Timothy. And then in verse 5, it says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And what he is trying to communicate to Timothy, and I think this is something that is true in our lives as well, is that your purpose, the purpose that Timothy had, that there was a foundation to it. In your life, in your purpose, I believe that there is a foundation that shapes who you are and what you are going to do with your life. Now, there are two different mechanisms that Paul highlights here that are a part of the foundation of who Timothy is. The first is his background. He has had a mother and a grandmother who have nurtured him in the faith. He has had experiences along the way that have nurtured him in the faith. That is a part of his foundation. And as you think back on your life, you think back on your purpose, you can probably think of tons of people along the way that have come along that have shaped you into who you are and have shaped you to such a way that you have been able to face the different experiences that you would have in life. And the second thing is there in verse 6 where it says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." In other words, there is a presence of God that is within the life of Timothy and is within the life of all of us who call on the name of Jesus, who all of us who believe, we all have been invited to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we have the presence of God in our lives. So your experiences, the people who have formed you and shaped you on the one hand are a part of your foundation. And then on the second hand, it is the presence of God in your life is the foundation of your purpose and the foundation of who you were created to be and how you are called to live out your purpose in your life. I think back on my journey, and there have been different moments where I have been able to look back and say the experiences I had in the past and the people that I was around, I either learned from my own mistakes or I learned from the mistakes of others. And those experiences, good, bad, or ugly, helped shape me and mold me so that I was able to face things that I would face in the future. I remember one of my first experiences of having this understanding was something that was very formative in my faith journey and very formative in my vocational journey. It's something I've shared about a few times before, but it was such an impactful experience. When I was on staff at the University of Georgia Wesley Foundation working in their campus ministry, I was put in charge of a mission team that went to Brazil. And our mission team was an arts-based mission team. And so it was made up primarily of people who were artists and musicians and poets. And we were going to go work with some different churches there in Brazil. And we were going to do primarily evangelistic work in incorporating the arts. And so we don't really know what we're going to do. One of the things that you learn when you do foreign mission trips is they aren't really good at giving you the information on the front end, at least as much as this American mind wanted to know. But we showed up in the country and got to know the people and realized they had a really good heart and they had a really good plan. And they sat down and they walked us through the entire itinerary of what we were going to be doing while we were in the country. We're like, this looks great. But the first two things on the agenda, I kid you not, were: tonight we will have a worship service and one of you will preach. And then tomorrow morning would be, the next morning was Sunday, we will have our Sunday morning worship service and one of you will preach. And the rest of my team is looking around going, I came here to play the guitar. I came here to play the flute. I came here to paint. And I'm just sitting there all looking at me going, Anthony, you got two sermons in you? And I said, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't come prepared to preach. I didn't come with a sermon in my back pocket. At this point in my life, I had spoken in front of people. I had preached a couple of times. I had led some small groups. I had taught some larger groups. But I never thought that I was going to Brazil to preach. But on a few hours' notice, the rest of the team was looking at me and saying, guess what, bud, you're preaching tonight. And I thought to myself, gosh, I wish I had had a flute that I brought with me that I could just rely on and say was my backup for what I was planning to do. But it was in that moment that I realized that God had used experiences in my life to prepare me for that moment. God had put people in my life who had given me opportunities to walk out there and fail, to walk out there and get a little bit of experience under my feet. God had given me opportunities to teach. God had given me a passion for studying the scriptures all through my college years, where I felt like I knew the Bible pretty well and could get up and share something about it. And so, yeah, on a few hours' notice, I had to throw together a sermon, and then with a little bit of sleep and a few more hours of work, had to throw together another sermon. And God used it and use it as a formative part of my journey, but it wouldn't have been possible without the foundation that I had of people giving me opportunities, people giving me chances to fall flat on my face with teaching experiences and speaking opportunities, and all the mentors I had had along the way that were instructive in shaping me into being ready for that moment. Fast forward a few years later, I was on staff at a church, and we were on TV every single Sunday. It was a delayed broadcast, and what we would do, this is before everybody was live streaming, what we would do is we would record the services on Sunday, and then we had a full-time person on staff who would edit the worship service into exactly the right time for it to air on local access TV. And that happened every single week like clockwork until that person turned in their two-week notice. Well, a few years before that, while I was working at the Wesley Foundation, I lived with the guy who did all of our video editing for our campus ministry. And I started learning a few things from him, just kind of watching what he did. And so when that person turned in their 2 weeks' notice, everybody's looking around the room saying, does anybody here know how to produce a TV show? And I just kind of raised my hand foolishly and said, I've edited a video before. I've opened the software before, and they said, okay, great, you're in charge. And within 2 weeks, I was producing a TV show every week. Had to do that for 2 months until we found somebody new, and I hated every single minute of it. But what I will say is that when 2020 rolled along, and every single church in America had to figure out how to edit a video and put it on Facebook so that their church could have online worship, I knew how to do it. I had been shaped in the crucible of that moment. I had been shaped in that experience. And in our lives, there are going to be moments that are going to be challenging, that are going to be formative. It might be good experiences. It might be negative experiences. It might be something that we have to struggle through. But that forms a foundation that will enable us to live into a greater purpose when an opportunity comes along later on in life. And Paul recognizes that for Timothy, he has had a foundation that has been laid for him with a mother and a grandmother that have shaped him in the faith, that have nurtured him, that have taught him what it means to live a holy life. And that is something that is going to carry on as Timothy goes to teach others how to live a holy life. Beyond that, there is the presence of God in his life. I cannot say that I stepped out the first time I ever preached knowing what I was doing. But the presence of God was with me, and God used it even though I was not ready for the moment, because God was present in that moment. And so Paul talks about the idea of the foundation of Timothy, how God has been working in his life and present in his life through the presence of others and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's a foundation for him and for his purpose. And then in verse 7 and 8, he continues by saying, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. In other words, what Paul is saying to Timothy is you might find the challenge that's in front of you to be insurmountable. You might find what's in front of you to be too difficult, but do not fear because you are a part of something that is bigger than yourself. You are a part of something that you can be empowered from, and God is going to be with you. You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to be ashamed. Your purpose can be empowered. You were not given a spirit of timidity. But God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God gives us the opportunity to be empowered through the power of God that we can do whatever purpose has been entrusted to us. And so Paul says, you're going to face challenges, you're going to face suffering, you're going to experience roadblocks along the way, but you can face those knowing that the power of God is with you. And when we think about our purpose, when we think about the challenges that we will face, when we think about our direction for life, we can embrace those, not because we think we can do it all on our own, but if we know it is what God has created us to do, that God will be with us and we will be empowered within it. When I was there in Brazil, I ended up meeting somebody I still have a relationship with to this day. And it was such an incredible experience. It just so happened that when our team was in town, there was a pastor from a different part of Brazil who had come to try and work out something with his visa in Sao Paulo. And so he ended up tagging along with our team. And he was this very, very enthusiastic, very, very crazy, office rocker a little bit, Brazilian pastor named Pastor Wesley. And Pastor Wesley, he heard something in what I said. He saw something within me that I couldn't even see myself. And he recognized that God was doing something within me through the way that I was serving that I could not even see myself. And he pulled me aside. Now, I want to give a disclaimer that when I preached in Brazil, I did have a translator. And so I believe that whatever words I said, however good they were or were not, the translator and the Holy Spirit rescued whatever I was saying. And so, you know, I would talk for a minute or two, and then he would talk for like 10. And it's like, so maybe it was the translator who was awesome. But this pastor, Pastor Wesley, he pulled me aside, and very loudly in front of the rest of the group, he said, "Man, I'm going to use you as a demonstration. You know, you don't look quite awake enough. So, all right, here we go. All right, so he would go, you're going to be the next Billy Graham. And then I was sitting there, I was like, wasn't that good of a sermon? And he's like, you're going to be the next Francis Asbury and John Wesley. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, this guy is insane. But he just kept encouraging me and kept motivating me. In fact, he thought so highly of me and another guy that was on our team that he invited us to come back the next year and to do ministry in his church. And he had this moment where we were sitting at this open air fish place. I remember we had fried fish and all the most amazing, delicious Brazilian sides. Glory be to God. Let's sing the doxology again. It was amazing. And so we're sitting there, and he leans over the table. I can still smell the fish and the atmosphere of this open air place. And he pulls out this plastic brick. I guess it was like a toy he got from his kids or something. I don't know. He pulls out this plastic brick. And he looks at me and he says, this is going to be symbolic of a building block, of a foundation for a lifetime of ministry for you in the Methodist Church. And I kind of like timidly took the brick from him and then looked at him and very kindly and cautiously said to him, I don't know that I want to be in ministry for the rest of my life, but thank you. But what was incredible about that was he saw that God was already doing something within me before I could see it myself. He saw a purpose that God had for me, and the confidence that God's presence would be with me through that before I could even see it myself. And I think back on that moment, and I think back to, yeah, it's just a little toy brick. Nothing really crazy about that. What it was the words of somebody who saw the presence of God that gives you that power and that sense of love and of self-discipline and not a spirit of timidity. He saw that there was a purpose within me that could be empowered through the presence of God if I were to surrender my life to that and to live into that. And we all face things where we need people to come alongside us and say, you've got this in you. God's presence in your life can enable you to do this. You can be empowered to do it. And here's why this is important. The next part that Paul explains, it explains why this is so important. He says in verse 9, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Now, this phrase, I've underlined, I don't know if you can see it, but I've underlined a few words in here, just showing what God's role is in this. He is the one who has saved us. That is not something that we could do on our own. He is the one who has called us. And in case it wasn't clear, Paul clarifies, not because of anything we have done. This isn't something that we can just do on our own. It's about being saved and called according to the purposes of God. And through that, it is because of his own purpose and grace. It is for a bigger purpose. It is like the Skittles. It is not just about the little ingredients existing on their own. It is about everything that has been entrusted within us, our experience of being saved, our experience of being called, the foundational moments, the empowerment of God. All of that works together, and it comes together because God has a purpose and God has a grace and a plan for each and every one of us that we could live out and live out the purposes and the calling that he has for each and every one of us. And what he says next builds on that. In verses 11 and 12, he says, and of this gospel, talking about the gospel of Jesus and how he has destroyed death and brought life and light and immortality, he says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. So Paul says, hey, here's my purpose. I know my purpose. I have been called as an apostle and a herald. And then he says that there's something very key in what he says. He says, what I have entrusted to him until that day. That language is used again two verses later in verse 14. It says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Paul is talking to Timothy, saying, the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, you might read that and you think to yourself, okay, so protect it, make sure it's safe, make sure it's got doing what it's supposed to do. But really, this language is only used in banking terminology. It's used in terms of investing something. You take a deposit and you invest it and you see it develop and multiply and be used for a further purpose. The deposit that's entrusted in you, so all of your experiences, all of the things that have led you to understand what on earth am I here for, what is it that I'm called to do, the empowerment of God within you, being called according to his purposes, all of that has been entrusted to you to guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, and is entrusted in such a way to be multiplied. It's designed to be something where your purpose goes beyond just simply being for you. It's designed to be something that will be multiplied. Your purpose is not just empowered, it can be multiplied. It could do even more beyond what you could imagine, because it is God who calls us and God who empowers us. Now, all of this is about what we end up doing with whatever purpose God has placed in our lives. I think back to a story I heard recently, and I shared this with our staff a couple of weeks ago as we were reflecting on how we might live out faithfully this next year and live out what God is calling us to do as a staff and as a church. And this particular phrase was a story I heard about someone visiting a church in Hawaii, and they were walking outside of the church, and the pastor pulled him aside and said, I want to show you something. This is a lime tree. It produces limes. Now, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, that's really not that genius. That's actually pretty straightforward. It would have been really weird if he had said, this is a lime tree. It produces coconuts. I mean, that would have been a little batty. That people would have questioned that. It makes sense that a lime tree would produce limes. But the pastor just kind of walked away and left it at that. Because we are supposed to produce the fruit of what we are. We are supposed to produce fruit out of who we are and who we have been created to be. And the question is, what kind of tree are you? What is your purpose. And what are you going to do with it? What fruit are you going to bear out of it? Everything that God has placed in your life, everything that God has called you to do and who God has called you to be, the experiences, the mentoring of others, everything that's a part of your foundation, combined with the presence of God in your life, what is God calling you to do out of that? Now, I think that our purpose can shift over times. There was a time in my life that my purpose was just to learn as much as possible. And then there became a point in my life where my job became to teach as much as possible. There's going to be a period of my life where my purpose is going to be a pastor and to lead churches. And then I know that one day, if I'm still around for it, there's going to be a time where my purpose is going to be to shepherd others who are leading churches and others that are guiding churches. Our purpose can change over time. And as you look at your life, you can see how there are different opportunities presented along the way. And everything that happens in our life prepares us for whatever we're going to face. God uses those experiences. God uses the experiences of others and the discipleship of others in our lives to prepare us for what God wants to do in us and through us. And so this morning, I just want to challenge us to think, what is your purpose? And what will you do with it? What have you seen that God has implanted in your life along the way? And what are you going to do with it? The purpose of a lime tree is to produce limes. The purpose of a disciple of Jesus is to produce disciples of Jesus. The purpose of a church is not to produce churches, although you can do that. The purpose of the church is to lead others to know the saving grace of God and to be called according to the purposes of Jesus. What is it that God has created you to be? How have you been shaped? How have you been molded? And what can God call you to do with that as you live out that purpose in your life? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you just for the many ways that you bless us, the many opportunities that you give us to grow and to be nurtured. We pray that as we look back on our lives, as we look back on our experiences, that we can see your hand upon us each and every step of the way. And we pray that we would use those experiences, we would use the ways that you have empowered us along the way, and that we would use it to face whatever challenges we might face next. I pray that you would give us a sense of clarity to see how you have shaped us and molded us, and to show us how we can live each day with purpose, with an understanding of why we are here and why we are called to live out what you have called us to live out. I pray that we would be people who produce fruit, that we would just not be a tree that is barren, but we would be trees and an orchard full of them, of people who bear good fruit that point others towards your love and your grace. I pray that in everything that we do, that we would point others to encounter your Son, Jesus, that they would see him and that they too would come to be saved and called into a holy life according to his purposes. May we live that out in everything that we do, joining together and remembering what he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.